what really got me confused about women with the tall poppy syndrome in Australia. And then scared of standing out and not wanting to be seen, not wanting to blow their own horn. And I'm thinking, what are they talking about? When I described, that made me think, whereas in Colombia, we're like peacocks. Mm. The bigger, the louder, the more colorful, the more feet are closed, the bigger, everything. It's like, seriously, it's like, and it's so interesting because it's, there is a little bit of vanity there, but then again, being vain in Colombia is a good thing.
Mm.
Because it is not being vain for being egocentric and being better than anybody else. It's being vain in a way in which you like taking care of who you are, you put an effort, you are taking care of you, and you love yourself enough to take time to do your makeup, mm-hmm. put your clothes together in a way that you represent yourself with pride.
Mm-hmm.
And you stand tall and you go out in full glory to share that with the world.
Welcome to another episode of Secrets in the City. I am your host. Who else would it be? I'm Dr. Kat, also known as Catherine Nisco. I'm so excited for today's episode. You know why? Because we have a peacock on the show. You know what I'm talking about. So this, we're going to get into it, but let me tell you, this lady that I met, she was sparkling, she was colorful, and she just had what I called chutzpah, which means this beautiful but elegant confidence. Alba, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. That is just so beautiful. Thank you so much.
I really want you to tell this story of the peacock and all that, because I think it's so beautiful because it creates such an image. And I always think about you when I'm getting ready. I'm like, how can I be like, feel like a peacock? But on this, I'm going to let you tell everyone what you do and all that. But I want to read out a portion of your bio because it just sticks out to me. And I love fiercely. She is fiercely passionate about helping individuals feel more confident with how they communicate who they are to maximize their leadership presence and amplify their personal brand. But the word that stands out is fiercely. I love that word. So if you were to describe to a six-year-old what you do,
yes,
how would you, what would you say?
I would say I help people really feeling comfortable and happy to let the world know who they are, what they do, and how brilliant they are.
How'd you get into it?
You could have a long story. The short story with that was, I guess I am an engineer by trade and I was working as an engineer for many years. When I came to Australia, I got recognized as an engineer and I started working here as an engineer just to realize I had lost passion for it.
Mm.
And that led me to think, what would I do if I was going to take the risk and do something different? So I went back into my own personal experiences. Growing up, I love people. I love communicating, and I've always been fascinated by how people can make the most out of who they are, how they look, and how they communicate that to the world. Because my own personal challenge has always been not being confident, feeling inappropriate, not fitting in, being bullied when I was a little girl, and I started using my image and who I was to start coming out of my shell. And by transforming my own story, I learned so much along the way and became fascinated with different sciences and studies. And one thing led to another. So when I went to make the decision, I thought, let's do something I know a lot about and let's keep studying. And that was the beginning.
With image, I was saying people judge each other. You know, whether we admit it or not, we judge each other within the first couple of seconds. We have already made decisions in our brain, whether we trust a person or not, whether we're attracted to another person or not. It means so much. But then we have this world where, you know, we're so image focused, but then there's another narrative that says we shouldn't judge a book by its cover. Like, how do you balance the two? I guess what I'm asking is, like, how do you not be egotistical, but also feel proud about what you look like?
And it's really interesting because it's been an evolution in my business. So when I first started working, I started as an image consultant. So I was helping people only with their image. Then I felt like there's a missing link here, because that's what happened to me. When I started exploring my image and how the way I look and dressed and how I did my makeup and my hair and loved all about it, I felt that I was putting on a mask. that was helping me feel better, but it wasn't enough. So that's when my own introspective journey in developing a strong mindset and understanding how my brain worked, what my self-beliefs were, and how I needed to change. So then when I was doing that with my clients, I'm like, oh, I'm doing with my clients what I did with me. And that's when I started expanding. So now what I do is so much more than the image. And I start with the mindset and I take a person through absolutely everything from body language to communications, online presence, to their image, because I think they all together can transform a person's life. So I 100% feel that a person can change how they feel, but changing how they look, but it's not enough.
It's not enough. I want to get into this like in great detail, because I think there's going to be a lot of people listening and say, you know what, tomorrow when I wake up, you know, I think I'm going to put on that outfit. And then the next morning comes and they see the outfit and they're like, I'll just wait until the next day. When I feel better about myself, then I'll wear that outfit. But we'll get into that in a bit, because I want to know, what secret did you pick?
Okay, the secret I pick is I am incredibly masterful of sabotaging myself. Every single day of my life, I never think I'm good enough. I never think I'm doing enough. I take myself out of the game every third day, and then I stand up and go again. And then the next day, I again am filled with self-doubt, thinking that I'm not good enough, that I'm not doing enough, that I'm not achieving enough, to the point that I get into depression and then take out of myself again. And it's been a pattern that has been going on since I was a little girl.
Wow. So you recognize, clearly you recognize that pattern.
Yeah. I'm much better now at snapping out of it. Yet,
I still
do it.
Do you know where it started or why it started? Okay.
Yes.
Are you willing to share?
Yeah, absolutely. I like sharing these is because I think it's so real and it happens to many of us. And as part of the work I do is I feel just grateful that I had those experiences that were so challenging, because then I can help other people with it. So it all started with me not having a good relationship with my mom. And feeling that the rejection from my mom made me at a deeper level, made me believe that there's something wrong with me. And through that relationship, I kind of felt that I was failing at being even a daughter, and I couldn't have the recognition and love from my mom. Mm. So my mom was pretty harsh on me. So it was never enough. And I have healed that relationship and I have an incredible relationship with my mom, yet I have myself now to keep beating myself. And I keep repeating that. So I haven't, as I said, I am so much better at it, but just still do it.
It's funny that old wounds, you know, you can band-aid them, you can fix them, you can even get plastic surgery to make them, you know, look better, but they're still wounds. And I think they really last for a lifetime.
And you know, one of my coaches told me something that stuck with me, and that's why I kind of appreciate it. She said, it's kind of like a spiral. And you start healing and you start healing and you start healing. You look still there, still sore, but you have evolved. You have grown. You have found tools. So that's how I feel, and that's how I get myself out of it. Because sometimes I'm like, you kidding me? Am I still doing this to myself after all the awareness, after all the learnings, after preaching all I preach? But then I remember, no, I am climbing on my spiral, and my wound is still there. But I also think, as I said before, it has allowed me to learn so much that I can share.
Pass it along.
So, I still get frustrated with myself, of course. And I'm like, come on, I'll snap out of it. That's that. And that's something that I think I am very open about my challenges, but I don't think I've ever been so honest about today. Maybe yesterday, I was there.
Yeah.
In that place.
So you speak about depression. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big word because I think it's, you know, if you've been depressed before, you realize that, you know, when people just say, I'm a bit sad, I feel down on myself, different, very different. It's like when people say, oh, you're burnt out, why don't you go on a vacation?
No, this is different.
Depression to me is like this dark cloud that weighs you down and keeps you in a prison. And I don't know if you've felt that way, like just paralyzed.
Yeah, I was diagnosed with depression where I was very, very, very young. And I literally spent most of my childhood in a dark place without wanting to leave. So it's a very known place for me. And I kind of got out of it and you know, like felt like so much better. But then I have had many episodes, and one not long ago last year when I again felt like I don't want to leave. Like it's just those places when you just really feel like everything is too much and you can't. So yeah, there is a difference between depression and just being sad. I tend to have such a depressive personality, which is something then again that I try to manage and learn and snap myself out of it as much as I can.
It's interesting. We were speaking about, like, you know, before we press record, is you can never judge a book by its cover. And, you know, for the people listening, I want you to picture the most vibrant and like the most bubbly and beautiful and passionate, and you're in your Colombian. So it's like this beautiful sex on a stick. I mean, you're just gorgeous and smiley. And then on the inside, you feel a different way. And there's this paradox between the outside and the inside. So how do you, I mean, with your clients, do you see that in your clients? Do you see this outside and then finally you get to their inside?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that's what I, because I, as I said, I share quite openly with my clients a few things with the purpose of them opening up. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that even with my closest friends or with people that have become really good friends after working with them, I do think that most of the people that are like with this type of big personalities, they have such a dark side like there. And it's not that I'm being a hypocrite or I am hiding who I am. Because the days I am there, you won't hear from me. And I will disappear from the grid for 2 weeks.
Okay.
But when I'm there, I'm there. And I'm with full glory and shine with no apologies. But then when I'm there, I just need to be in that side. So yeah, I do think a lot of people just might be, will never know what is happening behind by this, what they see. But at the same time, I am both persons. They're both me.
Yeah. Do you find that when you're in that dark hole where that cloud is over top of you, do you know that you're in a dark hole? Like, can you, I know when I'm in that dark space, I'm like, I know this is not me. This is my mind.
I know.
I can separate the
two. I know. And I'm becoming then again better at knowing that, okay, no, this is not me and I can get through this. Sometimes it takes me a little time. I just get too caught up. I'm an overthinker. And then I start sometimes so caught up in the whole thing that I lose sight of what is happening. And a couple of days can go past and I'm like, what happened? Like, where did I go those 2 days?
There's just such a paradox, right? And have you ever seen with your clients, like, you know, do you notice depressive?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? And how do you approach that? Because that's like big.
Oh, yeah, no. And if I see like one of my clients is definitely deeply depressed, then I just ask them to see somebody and work through that, because there is so much I can share about my experience and the tools that have worked for me, but I also have a responsibility for them to take action and do it the proper way, whatever that is for them. So I always kind of share and recommend them to talk to certain people. And then there's tools that we can even work together and do both things at the same time. But I, every time, like, you know, I think that's the beauty of what I do and what I love it so much. I get to know people so intimately.
Yes.
And they get to share so many things. And we all go through so much. And sometimes it's just a little bit, it makes you feel better to know, oh God, you also go through that. And you also have the same doubts. And you've overcome that. So maybe I can do that too. And even I get told a lot of this by friends or close people, like, you, with the work you do, why are you so vulnerable? Don't you need to show this impression that you have it all under control? And I just laugh. I'm like, good luck with that. I'm just a human being. Yes. And seriously, I just think it makes me more real and it makes me more able to help others, because I'm constantly dealing with something that reminds me what I need to be doing, that reminds me that I need to keep on top of my mindset, that reminds me that I can go up and I can go down, and I know how to do it because I've done it so many times. Then I can help others do the same.
Have you ever said, like, I can't do this anymore? Like, as in not in regards to any, but like, as in, like, I got to get off this like circus ride and just totally, I guess, escape from the world for a year.
Totally.
Yeah.
I actually just had a little bit of an escape year. Not last year, but the year before.
Okay. And what can you tell?
Yeah, well, I think too many things happen. My godmother in Colombia, we have a godmother who was literally closer to me than my mom, because I didn't have that relationship with my mom. Then she was like my mom, and she passed away in a very unexpected way. That woman was so full of life that if you think I'm full of energy, she was multiplied that by a million, and she was my role model. So it was an unexpected cancer that took her away really quickly. So that was, for me, was like the closest death I've ever had. Then my best friend's husband, who she just had married, died at 40 from a heart attack. They just got married and then he died. So those two events just literally wiped me out completely, because I was like, what is going on? Like it really made me reassess everything. And yeah, I literally couldn't operate. I just had to take pretty much the year off just to put my pieces up. First, to just let me just be completely destroyed. Yes. And then bit by bit, just put my pieces all together again. And yeah, and I was grateful I was able to do it. And I am yet to comprehend the depths of the lessons I've learned from that.
I was just about to ask you that. Like, if you look at yourself before that happened and after, what do you think has changed for the better in you?
Because I'm a warrior and I'm overthinker, I think it has helped me a little bit more to live more in the present, to just remind me that life is happening today. And since then, I have had this intention of how can I have the most fun, joy, and be the most loving I can be every day. Obviously, I lose track of that, but it has helped me a little bit more to just stay more in the present and make even more of the things that light me up.
Mm. Because isn't like the Colombian culture very loud and eat and drink and dance?
Yes.
Like, is it literally like that all the time?
Like, yeah. Well, like we, you know, like most Colombians are loud and full of passion and happy. I am quite like just like up there, even within my friends. But then again, it's because of my other side that I then sometimes go in my quiet little corner. Every time I just came back from home, and every time I go home, I'm like, oh, I love it. Like the culture, the people, the passion, you can just breathe it as you walk through the streets. And I think it has been hard for me being in Australia. I've been here for 18 years, but it has, sometimes I forget. I forget who I am and where I come from and what I need to connect to that passion and to that energy and to that love for life. So yeah, it's there. It's always there. But I think sometimes that little light gets just very little. And then with this reminder that life is so fragile, I think I was kind of like, no, okay, let's just remember what is important. I am lucky that I have chosen to live a very aligned life. Since I left my engineering corporate career and started my business, I have lived so much more doing something I love, but finding balance in my lifestyle, traveling, doing the things that I love. But I think this was like the next level there to just say, just it is today, because I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow.
There's a lot of talk about this great resignation. And obviously today is actually International Women's Day of all days. And I was just at an event and we were talking about how many, so many women want to get out of the corporate field and, you know, be in business for themselves, which you have done. Looking back, what are some of the, oh God, I wish I would have known that.
Oh God.
Moments.
So many things. It's been an incredible journey of learning and challenges that I wouldn't change for anything. But I think one thing is, if I had had a little bit more confidence in my ability to work it out, because I don't have to know it all, but like I've worked it out. There's people who knows who can help me. There's coaches I can engage, courses I can do. At the beginning, I felt too overwhelmed thinking I cannot work out this thing and I got stuck for a long time. So I think that just you work it out, just be confident in your passion for what you're doing. If you have passion and that's what you desire, it's going to happen. You're going to make it happen.
Yes. I think there's a saying, something along the lines of, when you're ready to learn, the teacher will show up.
Exactly.
Yeah. So do you have that sort of teacher or equivalent show up?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've had always a coach and a mentor throughout my whole entrepreneurial career. I love learning. I have a very active mind. I'm very logic and I need to find the science behind everything. Plus, I have my spiritual teachers that I've needed a lot also to help me balance my mind and my heart and just really move from being a very logic woman into my heart. So absolutely, always yes. And I think that makes me a better coach because I think if I'm not learning, then it's limited what I can share. So I'm learning through my personal experiences and I love learning through a person who can teach me a lot of things, then there's so much more I can share.
And speaking of sharing, I mean, I'm wearing these amazing earrings that I get compliments on all the time. I was just saying that everyone, is that like Dior?
No, it's Alba Gomez accessories.
Yes. So, you know, giving. Yes. This is what, whenever I put these on, I'm like, oh, that just, I feel your energy and I feel your love and your passion, but also your givingness, if that's even a word. Can you tell us about this?
Yes.
Because I love every single earring on the collection.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is like, as we've shared before, this is just something that couldn't bring me so much more joy. First is representing and is bringing Colombia to the world. So all the accessories are handmade by Colombian artisans. These sole income earner women support their families through the work. And then I not only support them, but I am bringing my beautiful country and its colors and its uniqueness and the story of all the passion and that I said before that I think we all need so much always. Mm. And then sharing that with, at the moment, I am delivering worldwide, but I'm concentrating in Australia. So bringing it to Australian women. And then a part of the profits go back to help educate kids with no access to education in my country, that there's a lot of them. So yes. I've always dream of being like Shakira, who has like a massive foundation for kids, and she just it's obviously a massive scale. I'm just a tiny little thing, but one day I thought, well, I get started and I never know where I can get with that. So for me, it's all about bringing the beauty of my country to Australia, supporting those women and giving back, because as I think you've noticed, nothing lights me up more than my country. Like, I just love it.
Even when you're talking about it, like your tone changes and everything. And in Colombia, I mean, obviously I've never been there. I have the biased perspective because obviously I've seen, you know, the cartel movies and so forth. And that's, you know, a lot of people think that way. A lot of people think that, you know, this is a country that has been through a lot. And how is it now?
It's very different, and I guess it's a complicated moment to speak about as we just changed governments to a very interesting one. But let's say what I want to say.
That was a very politically way to just push that under the rug.
Yes, because we're not going to go there. But just to really explain, and what I love about this, like this last time, every time I go to Colombia, there's more and more tourists. And I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people this time, which was incredible, people from overseas and other countries. And it lights me up when I get to see people are finally see what an incredible place this is and how much we have to offer in so many different ways. Like, I guess there is a drug problem.
But that's everywhere.
Yeah. There is a corruption problem, isn't it? Everywhere.
Everywhere.
To start with, Colombians don't take drugs. And I think people might go without, what? Like, people think they're going to go to Colombia and in every corner. I have never in my entire life seen cocaine. And yes, we are supposed to produce the best one in the world. Do not want to know anything about it. So first of all, that's one thing. There is a conflict. There's areas that is dangerous. Yes. When all the growing and dealing happen, I do literally don't know anything about it. What I see is the country I lived for 26 years that I visit often, that is just an incredible place full of, as I said before, there's so much, you need to experience it to understand it, but there's so much aliveness and the people are so warm and kind and there's so much color and it's a little bit messy. Obviously, we have this pristine, clean, organized city that I find a little bit boring. Because you know where I go.
It's expected. Everything is expected. You know,
whereas there is like, it's so spontaneous. Like people are just friendly and smiley. And I just took many Ubers in this trip. And I got out of those Ubers knowing the deepest secrets of these people.
Yes.
It's just that warmth and openness that, I think it's unique. The food is, I think, and we can share the story of the peacock here now.
Yes, because brilliant.
Really, we are just so full on and we are just so happy to give and share. So I've always shared the story that what really got me confused about women with the tall poppy syndrome in Australia and then scared of standing out and not wanting to be seen, not wanting to blow their own horn. And I'm thinking, what are they talking about? When I described, that made me think, whereas in Colombia, we're like peacocks. The bigger, the louder, the more colorful, the more feet are closed, the bigger, everything is like, seriously, it's like, and it's so interesting because there is a little bit of vanity there, but then again, being vain in Colombia is a good thing. Because it is not being vain for being egocentric and being better than anybody else. It's being vain in a way in which you like taking care of who you are, you put an effort, you are taking care of you, and you love yourself enough to take time to do your makeup, put your clothes together in a way that you represent yourself with pride. And you stand tall and you go out in full glory to share that with the world.
Like a peacock.
Literally. Like a beautiful... What do you think when you see a peacock? Wow.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Whereas here, like, wow, who does she think she is? And I have a lot of clients and friends who say, but if I do that or if I say that or if I wear that, what are people going to be judging me and thinking, who the hell do I think I am? I'm like, you're an incredible, beautiful, talented, gorgeous woman. And the other analogy that I was told to me once that I thought, how beautiful is that, is imagine the sky at night had a star. Beautiful. But do we judge that there's a million stars shining? The more stars shining in the sky, the more beautiful the scenery to look at. So that's it. I go to Colombia and then I'm looking at this woman and this woman and this woman. And it's like, and then not only how they look, but how they act, how they carry themselves is so inspiring. It's beautiful. So I always like using those two comparisons of the peacock and in the stars, the more we shine and the more we inspire others to shine.
Yes. When we shine brighter, we shine light on someone else. And I would say, you know, there's a big difference between taking pride in your appearance and being obsessed about it.
Exactly.
And there's, you know, how, you know, from the outside, can you really tell the difference? I think I can. You can?
I can straight away.
And how do you notice it? Like, I have my own little, like,
for me, it's how they carry themselves. And it's the smile, it's in the smile, it's in the expression of the face.
And just even how they're, where their eyes go.
Yeah, and that's, you know? And that's the thing. Like some women, and they look, sometimes they look, and they kind of don't make eye contact. They feel like, whereas a woman who's just confident and loving, she will make eye contact, she will smile, she will just kind of share. Because that's the other thing that I think is more sharing more of who you are. And not just with your clothes. It's just like opening, it's like opening up a little bit instead of just hiding behind the mask or the look.
It's interesting that you say that, like, you know, almost opening up. There's, I looked up the definition, the etymology of the word evolution, and it means to unroll something that has been rolled up. And it's kind of the same thing to open up something that was closed, and that's like the evolution of us. Like, how do we just constantly evolve? I was just thinking about when you were thinking about, when you were talking about that lady and like, what are people going to think? And how do we go from worrying so much about what other people think about us versus actually understanding the only person we should care about, judgment, is how we judge ourselves?
Oh, God, yeah. That's been a really big one for me, especially in our culture, because as many things Colombia has, judgment is at the top of them.
Really?
Yes, which is funny. Like your family will really judge you and they want to have a saying in everything that you do. So they will have an opinion. The thing is, because we're so open, we will express and we'll tell you, and people will get bothered by it.
Okay. So wait, I need to put this in my mind into a nice little compartment. So when you're out and about and you see like the women peacocks and stuff like that, you're like, oh my God, amazing. And there's no judgment.
Ah, there will be people who will judge, but nobody cares.
Okay.
So women don't care. They know there will be people who will be just enjoying their peacockness and people who will be judging it. None of their business.
With a snap on the end. But your family.
Yes. Then the family, they are very opinionated in how you act, how you do, what you do, having kids, not having kids, when are you getting married? Like, you know, with all those things of how you lead your life. Oh, yes. They think they have an opinion and they deserve a committee open where they their opinions are should be taken into consideration. And that's when I'm like, away.
Okay, so did that happen to you?
Yeah. And when I came to Australia, it was like the disappointment. Like to this day, one of my sisters still, like, why did you, how could you do this to us? And why did you abandon us? And
right, because the family is like,
yes, family is everything.
And you're like, non mas.
Bye. Ciao. Adios. See you later. Yes.
Wow.
And it was very unexpected too. So I fell in love and I followed love to Australia. So in 3 months I was, then I wasn't. And everybody was like, what happened? And because I've always been incredibly passionate and a lover of my country, nobody saw it coming. Because yes. There's a lot of people who want to live, but I had a beautiful life there. So just loved it. So my family, they 18 years, and they still sometimes just, why do you come so for a short period of time? Why don't you come? They cannot say, why don't you come more? Because I go every 6 months, but why do you come longer?
Yeah. There's
always like something, never enough. And so, yeah, it's very opinionated. But then I think that also taught me, and moving to Australia and taking myself away from the whole, I went like, seriously, I live my life for others for a long years. I did engineering because the expectations of my parents was that my two sisters are engineers as well. I did everything and I was able to break from all the expectations. I got married and didn't have kids, which I'm still in denial with that then. And then I realized, well, this is my life. Who is going to live it? Yes, it's me. So I'm going to do what I want. And then I learned and realized people's opinions of you are none of your business. They're going to judge you no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. And am I going to live my life for them or am I going to choose to be happy? And seriously, my heart and my soul have happiness as a priority because I have gone through a lot. And I went and got fed up from suffering and inflicting so much on me that I went like, you know what? Whatever makes me happy. And whatever you think, I'm not disrespecting anybody. None of my business. And I always say to my clients, imagine it's like you have a central beautiful energy and you have a massive leak. Worrying so much about what people think of you, all your energy is leaked and then you feel empty and sad. What if you stop worrying so much about what people think and see how you feel when you have regained again the power of just not living life for others? There's a few techniques that I share there, and it's kind of like because I've experienced it, and then I feel so much stronger now.
So how do you do that? How do you start worrying more about yourself than others?
First of all, get to know yourself better. And then people say, I know who I am. No, you don't. You don't. And I have worked on this intensively for 25 years, and I sometimes peel some layers, and I'm like, so I've created like a set of questions that ask you things in many different ways. We go back to your story. We understand the way we act today is the result of our childhood, mostly. So sometimes we don't realize that we are just reacting, not even thinking. So really getting into understanding where those behaviors come, the good ones and the not so good ones, the reactions, really looking at that. And when you do that and you actually also remember that you are not meant to get it all right, then again, I think it's when that little fire starts just kind of starting. Then a lot of techniques to stop your brain from going there. And then how can you start saying more no? So very little things. It's like that. Say no and see how you feel.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to die if you don't go to that dinner that you dread going. Having that uncomfortable conversation with a family member or with your boss or with your little things.
Little things that add up.
Little things. And seriously, I put my clients through a set of exercises and little things, 20 little things. By the end of the day, they're like, what is the next big task? It's like,
right.
Yeah, it's like now I'm ready to do something bigger. And then that's when you start. I think it's all about regaining that passion because I think a lot of us have lost that passion for life and we don't realize it's happened because we're running in autopilot.
Or we're living someone else's life.
Or we're living someone else's life. So then I know this doesn't sound too correlated to personal branding, but that's what I always say. I have my own approach to personal branding that I created because it's based on my story and what works. At the end of the day, for me, personal branding is how you communicate who you are and how people perceive that. Where else can we start than by you remembering who you are and remembering what you want and creating a life that is in alignment with all of that. So when you start just building those little saying no when you mean no, saying yes when you mean yes, remembering that what people think of you is none of your business and saying something little and watching yourself and watching how the other person responds and seeing that nobody died because of it and doing those little actions, then I think it's kind of like, okay, yeah, no, I can do this.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel good. So then you want to try
it's
something
more.
Yeah.
It's one thing I always joke that it's going to be something that I'm working on until my last dying day is I want everyone to like me.
Yes.
Like even when you messaged this morning, like, oh, we still on. I was like, the first thing I thought was, oh my God, she's going to hate me because I haven't like updated her. My hand to God.
It didn't happen, but I understand what you're saying.
You know what? It's even those kind of things like, oh, you know, I should have done it last night. And I was going to do it this morning, but I should have done it last. It's always sad. Or if I say something and then someone just looks like they changed their eyes a certain way. I'm like, I must have said something wrong. And it's constant.
And it's exhausting.
It's so exhausting. And it's something that I'm definitely working on. Then I see my partner. He doesn't give a flying F about what anyone thinks. Anyone thinks. I'm like, what water are you drinking? But it's a slow process.
It's a process. It's a process. Like one of my friends just said, like, how do you really? Because I'm so direct and I am not scared of offense. And it's a Colombian thing too. We're very direct. So it's cultural. I say things and I can see how people go like, and I'm like, oh, I'm kind, but I will say things that are clear. But I wasn't like that before. I think it comes back to me, first of all, understanding that I am not going to be liked by anybody, but I want to be liked by me. And I want to live in alignment with what I think. Obviously, I'm not rude or anything of those things. But I am kind. I am nice. I am warmth. I am loving. Sometimes if I don't have anything nice to say, I stay quiet. but I don't, because it's exhausting. And then I think I have done so much work on self-love and loving my little girl and looking into the mirror and looking into my eyes deeply and saying, I love me, I appreciate me, that I have learned to give me that appreciation. I still obviously want to be liked, but I'm not pursuing that continuously.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's kind of like when I catch myself, and when I used to be more like that, I would catch myself in the moment and tell me, I love you. Alba, I really love you. You're amazing. You've got this. The only person you need this approval from is you.
Mm.
And then that's how I was able to make changes in my life and in my career, knowing that I was being judged like I was literally straight going to hell. Like just literally, like in my family, they were like, you know, having kids, leaving her engineering for doing what, going to a different country with this guy that she doesn't even know that well, and all those things. And I guess I just went like, I don't want to be liked. I want to be happy.
Yes. I'll get back to you on that. I'm still working on
Yes.
In about 10 years.
No, yes.
I think when you were talking about that, I was just thinking, is that always the case, or is it when I really respect people? And I was thinking, with the people that I really respect, i.e. you, I'm more concerned, right? That I'm not doing right by them. But for the people that I don't know or potentially I don't respect, it's not like I don't not respect a lot of people. But do you think that's a big difference? Like if you respect someone,
yeah.
I think having...
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. And I guess, obviously, I might be more bland with my closest friends. It's not that I don't respect them, but we're closer and they know me.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it makes a lot of sense. And I guess it's natural instinct, a human instinct to be liked and loved. We all want to be liked and loved. I think the problem becomes when it is on the top of your mind every day and you drive your actions.
Yes.
By being liked. Yes. My closest friend and... Yeah, she's going to kill me. I'm saying this, but we have this conversation. I say, you have to stop doing so many things in order to be liked, because it ends up having the opposite result. She overpromises and underdelivers. And we had conversations in which I'm like, people are saying this and you didn't even have to say, because who you are is enough. Why are you doing this? And then she's the most incredible woman. I like, you just be you and you're going to be liked and loved. But it's when you are going for that extra thing. The other thing also is like, I think when we're looking something outside, it's because we're lacking something inside.
Mm-hmm.
So I always think, what is it that you're wanting to get? Nobody outside is going to give you that you can only give to yourself. So what is the approval, the love, the appreciation that you need? And if you start giving that to yourself every single morning in a little hug, kiss, I don't know, a little smile to yourself, you might start craving less.
Yes.
That approval from the outside.
I think getting older makes it a lot easier.
It helps.
Yeah, you know, and I have this little thing on my makeup mirror. It says, you have a gift that only you can give the world. And I look at that every morning amongst many other quotes, to thine own self be true and all that stuff. But I think that one hits home for me, because oftentimes we get so caught up in someone else's world and what their journey is, and we forget that our own unique journey is exactly that, and has so much beauty and so much power and so much value. But we're so distracted, like you say, oh, her, them, blah, 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 blah. and just slowing down and remembering that. I think it's definitely helped myself.
It helps a lot. And you know, when you mentioned that, what made me think is this comparison thing that that we tend to do. And I think it happens to all of us. And with social media now, it's even worse. And one of my coaches shared something that really is similar to the star thinking and shining. It's like, do allow other people doing things an inspiration for what is possible. Mm-hmm. So instead of seeing it as, why is he or she or wow, that's available. And if it's available to her, what is available to me? And Gabby Bernstein also put it as driftwood. So every time you driftwood, I don't know how to pronounce that properly.
Driftwood, yeah. Yes.
So every time you see something out there that you want in a journey, that instead of going like, just go and say, the universe is showing me this because it's coming close. So it allows us to compare ourselves less to others and to stay, then again, it's to stay in our little own lane, not letting those leaks distract us from the incredible journey only us can live if we are focused. Because if we're so distracted by opinions of others, by comparing ourselves to others, we're just going to take so much longer to get to where we want to go.
I would say comparison, also jealousy, is never about a who, it's about a what.
Yes.
Because it's never about that person. It's never about that incredible woman, man, person that it looks a certain way. It's about what they've achieved. And that took me a long time to realize. And I found myself being a very not nice person inside my head. I'm like, this is not me. Like, I want to support those people. And once I realized that, I was like, oh, God, that's actually an indication about what's important to me.
Yes, I actually have been able to shift it that way. And obviously, sometimes you can avoid to go like, but then I breathe through it. And I'm like, I remember this is just the universe showing me there's something there that I want. Mm-hmm. What can I do about it? Or it is available. And then let's get into it.
So do you use all these techniques on yourself? Like when you are in that low kind of state?
Absolutely. So yeah, that's the thing that I guess the more I learn, the more I just go there and use techniques that I say some are simply dancing, jumping, getting my body moving, exercising, affirmations, talking to myself, explaining to myself, getting thoughts out on paper so they can be out
fart
of my
out.
Brain. Yes, and I burn them out. I love rituals. So literally there with all the incense and the sage in me. We're letting all those energies out. So yeah, I love, and that's what I kind of love of what I do, because I get to live it. So even with the communication things, like I know so much about body language that I don't apply to me because I'm too excited when I get talking that I'm just letting the passion just do it. But then I'm like, no, okay, we can do this. I start practicing everything on me, and I know how effective it is to take me out of a dark place, to help me come across as a more credible speaker, all those things. But I'm always practicing and playing with the tools on myself, because that's the best way to really internalize them so then I can share them.
That's it. I love the music thing.
Ah, yes, I love it.
There's, you know, what's your favorite song to listen to?
You won't know the song, but Latin music, I love salsa, merengue, reggaeton, vallenato, like this music that you literally cannot stay in standing when you start listening to it. So I live to that music pretty much.
So do you Latina dancing?
Of course. Of course. I'm listening to that at home all the time. My husband is Australian and he literally now has Latin in his blood. He's playing my music all the time. I go dancing here more often lately. When I go home, all I want to do is go dancing. I love it. It's like nothing makes me more happy in life. And I think every single person should try Latin music because it's amazing.
I love it, but I cannot sit down when I'm listening to it.
I know.
It's impossible.
You know, when I am working and concentrating, then I do need to put like a chill out or something.
Yeah.
But if I'm, you know, chatting away or just doing around the house or doing something in the office that doesn't require extreme attention, I am just there dancing and working and doing things.
What is it about that music? Because I think that you could be from the complete opposite side of the world and listen to that music, and there's something about it that gets into your bones and just makes you feel like the most amazing, sexy and energetic person alive. Or maybe that it could just be me.
No, I think in general, I think it's a reflection of the culture.
Yes.
And because, as I said, I think the whole, I love Colombia, but the whole Latin culture is so rich and so beautiful and so passionate. So I think it is so infused with that. It's created for people from there with those rhythms and those old percussion things that it's kind of like literally I feel my blood starts moving and I'm like immediately.
Yeah, me too.
I'm just now thinking I need to go and dance now. Like seriously, it's one of those things that I think music is powerful. Music is powerful. It's just that the Latin music has a beat to it that transmits a lot of passion.
It does.
And then, yeah.
And sex.
Yes.
No matter what, you cannot say. I just think the Latinas, you know, culture. I mean, if you look at J-Lo as one example.
Yes.
I mean, when she's 90, she's still going to be a sex symbol. You know, it's just the way people move. And I just think that it's, I wish more people could look at that culture because it back in, I'll say this, back in Toronto in Canada, we have a big Latina. Would you say, do you say Latina or Latino?
Well, we say Latino, but
Latino because
Latino because it, men and women, but you know, let's not even get into that.
Yes. But I remember we would go on like Wednesdays, it was like Latina night and so forth. And there'd be like these white guys who couldn't dance for shit and they'd be on the dance floor, but the energy was there and you just walk out there feeling so good.
Yes.
So good. I'm going to go home and like listen to it, obviously. Yes.
I'm going to sing a couple of songs that I love at the moment. And that's it. And I think part of the thing as when I work with the body language side of things, and there's so much science about it too. Like when you move your body and you get, you can affect how your brain is operating by how you start moving your body. So what best way to just not start your day? So I love it. Like sometimes I say to my husband, seriously, it's like 6 a.m, we just open our eyes. He's beating up like this music that I love, but I'm still waking up. But I'm like, no, leave it because we're just happy and I start dancing and it just feeds me with so much joy. So I highly recommend everybody go and get your Latin music playlist and
totally.
Do anything to it. Yes.
I have one in the car actually. I actually have what's called a CD. Which I know, do you remember CDs?
Yes, of course.
CD in the car and it's Latino music, so I got to put that in. So you have so much energy and clearly so much to give, so many tools. So if someone, you know, is at that stage where like they know that there's another level, they know that they want to present themselves to the world in a different way, like where do they start? They go on your website, they see you, like when you work with a client one-on-one, where do you start?
Yeah, so if you go on my website, so there will be a box that pops up that allows you to do a little analysis of where your personal brand is at. It's quite simple. So it gives you a little bit of a hint of what are the areas that this work covers. So you can kind of say, okay, this is what I need. So that gives you a little bit of a guidance. There's a lot of free resources there as well. I have a podcast, but then, you know, I love people and I love chatting. So the best way is send me an email and we can just have a chat and see what is it that you need, what you're looking for. And as I said at the beginning, this is all about communicating who you are. This is not just about your image. For me, the image now is secondary, is the icing on the cake that some people choose to work on. Some people don't. This is just a a change in how you see yourself and how you communicate. When you speak, with how you share, how you show up on LinkedIn, on a conversation, in a meeting, how you use your body language, how you use your energy.
Then
that first analysis in that pop-up box will give you a little bit of an idea of like, okay, these are areas that I can start improving. And if somebody wants to take it further, send me an email and we have a chat.
Perfect. I'm going to do that now since I'm so curious now. So curious. All right. I need to ask you one final question.
Yes.
But I want this in your own language.
Oh, in Spanish. You want me to answer in Spanish?
Sí, okay. Sí. I would love you to share what is your favorite quote that really means something meaningful to you.
Okay.
But in your own language.
Oh my God. One of the things that I repeat to myself is I am enough.
How do you say that in Spanish?
Soy suficiente.
You gotta slow that
down. Soy,
which I means am. I am. Soy.
Suficiente.
Suficiente. Oh, yes. Sufficient.
Yes. But it means I am enough.
Soy suficiente.
Yes. So it's suficiente.
Suficiente.
And the other one that I say to myself a lot, that it was one that my coach actually gave me in Spanish, is yo recibo.
Yo recibo.
And it means I receive.
I receive.
Yeah. And I actually, funny enough, when I get a message and I'm on my back, when I'm there open, I repeat it. I receive. And I just imagine me receiving blessings, love, happiness. And it's one thing that I keep, but I do say it in Spanish. Yo recibo.
Recibo. I got to do that.
Recibo. But you can say recibo.
Recibo.
Yes.
Oh, so, okay.
But right. It's just that we roll the R.
I know, it sounds so much better.
Yes,
recibo. I just sound like a Canadian English, like, hey, recibo.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes when my husband is saying things, I'm like, oh, you sound so funny when you speak in Spanish. It's not the same.
It's funny. I've had a long day, and it's impossible not to feel alive and awake with you here. It's just been such a pleasure. So many tips, so many tricks, so many insights in regards to the mind and also the body and how they talk to each other. So what can I say? We're going to put all the links, obviously, in the show notes. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I love chatting to you. Thank you so much for inviting me, Kat.
It's a pleasure. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. And once again, never forget that every day is your chance to shine. Thank you. Lots of love.